Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Maddock. Of course, this is the Gilcast, our NFL DFS recap show. I'm here with Sammy. I'm here with Nate. Third week in a row where we all won. I guess I can't remember if you guys won also. I know third week in a row for me. The invites, guys, the invites are really slowing down. I think I only got 5 invites this week after back-to-back winning weeks, and I'm not sure they're going to pick up after this week.
Tough. I think
I got one. So feel free to keep sending them, fellas.
People knew it was not a Mike Davis on the main slate, so they didn't pick up any of your games, Nate.
Oh, dude, I was dying at that Falcons game this morning, just watching Mike Davis chug along for 2 yards in a row as CPAT just like they're just giving every play to CPAT, and then
CPAT leading rusher, second leading receiver, they let him throw a pass. It was just like complete CPAT show. And then of course, like, Davis scores a touchdown at the end.
Mike Davis fumbled too to like give the Jets a chance to like get back in the game, but what can you do? I mean, what do you get with a touchdown? Like 12 points? Probably not even.
Not even. It would have just been the people were saved because it would have just been Nate taking an L, like not taking an L, just like, oh, that was the thesis of the play, bro. Like, he's going to get those high equity touches and, you know, just nonsense, nulling garbage. And
would you have played Mike Davis over Leonard Fournette if he was cheaper?
No, not on this. I mean, Fournette was such a good play today. I mean, the running backs with Madison, it was like such an easy. If you didn't play those 3 running backs, I think you made some mistakes.
I mean, to be honest, I think you fucked up pretty bad, Nate. Like, I think your team was fine, but I think you played a suboptimal team.
It was a 2v2 versus you, right?
3v3. And I think you got this is amazing, by the way. This has got to be one of the largest statistical anomalies I have ever seen in my life. Nate and I got the exact same amount of points, 188.58.
This is tilting. Can there be a stat correction or something? One of us has
got to. There's got to be a stat correction. But this is insane because we had a 3v3. I mean, how often is a 3v3 going to score the exact same amount of points to the decimal?
Yeah,
that's got to like never happen.
I crunched the numbers. It's infrequent.
Yeah, it's pretty infrequent. So 188.58 for me and Nate, 187 for Whirling Dervish. This was the team that Sammy and I played. Trey Lance, Derrick Henry, Leonard Fournette, CeeDee Lamb, Devontae Adams. Sammy, you played Jalen Waddle. I played LaVisca Chenault. We all played Evan Ingram, Alexander Mattison, and the Eagles defense. Nate did a 3v3 versus that lineup with Dak Prescott, T. Higgins, and Jalen Waddle. So Nate, you spent up on quarterback and went T over CD. I mean, I don't think it was bad, but you were pretty close to being punished because Trey Lance got 16 without a touchdown. Like, you
Nate's lineup was like one of those people that, like, you know, is like in the know, so they're not so stupid that they don't make an egregious lineup, but they screw up the obvious lineup and do a couple of
things. not playing $6,000 CD felt really weird. Like, it just felt weird.
Here's the other thing. I'm in Hawaii, so I got to watch very little football, but I did see the second half of this game, and they ran this trick play to Cedric Wilson.
Yeah.
And CeeDee Lamb is wide, just wide for
wide
a touchdown.
Open.
Nobody,
yeah,
20 yards, and he throws it to like Noah Brown instead, and like leaves it 10 yards short, and it was big tilt. CeeDee would have walked in, touchdown, bonus, like easy game. It was just, I wish Nate got punished.
I mean, it wouldn't have mattered. Nate would have gotten there anyways. But I'm curious your thoughts on why you didn't want to play CeeDee, Nate.
Well, it wasn't, I didn't want to play CeeDee. It was more just the rest of the lineup. Like at the end of the day, I think Dak was like, I may have gotten take locked on Dak. I thought Dak had like the highest floor and almost the highest ceiling of like any quarterback
going
this week.
Well, I think that's true. I think that's true. I think what you just said
is cash,
true.
I thought people were making huge mistakes playing people like Daniel Jones and Trey Lance. I thought there's legit like a chance that I could outscore the field 15 points. At the quarterback
well,
position
you more than outscored the Daniel Jones people by 30. And I got I got to come clean to the people. Daniel Jones was in my lineup at like 9:30 a.m. Central Time, and then I just thought about it and I was like, just don't be an idiot. Like, don't be scared of like Trey Lance maybe having a bad game in his first start. Like, Lance is clearly the play. Like, I needed to just have like my come to Jesus moment with Trey Lance.
I thought Dak was just the play. And I thought, obviously, CeeDee was like, no metric you looked at, CeeDee wasn't a top three wide receiver this week. It was like the three top wide receivers and pretty much all my stuff was like Devontae, DJ, CeeDee, and then maybe Cooper was right there. But I just wasn't willing to take that floor risk with either Fields, Lance, or Jones. And I thought Dak was just very clearly the guy that I wanted. And I didn't think T. Higgins was that much of a difference. Like the 2v2 is essentially Dak and T. Higgins versus CeeDee and Fields. And the floor on Fields and CeeDee just felt so much lower than Dak and Higgins. But I mean, it ended out in a wash. And then the 4,800, I mean, the thing that made us a 3v3 was I took Waddle.
That didn't matter at all.
Yeah. That didn't matter. But the 2v2, I
had Waddle over Chenault. But I think the thing is, Nate, like, you can't focus on quarterback that much. Like, quarterback ranges of outcomes. We've talked about this for years. It's like,
well,
it's
more in the mind because of how bad Fields has been the last 2 weeks. Like, that was more of a mental thing for Nate. Nate was being
a mentally weak thing from Nate, yeah. if you want to be more pointed about it. It's very mental.
No, I just think Dak at this price was like just the play in cash.
No, I think we're picking apart some holes in your game here, Nate. I think we're showing where you maybe have some mental weaknesses in your game. Cause be honest, no. Dude, be honest. If Fields had not gone out at like 25% owned and gotten 3 points or whatever, like, I don't know. I'm speaking for myself. Had I not just seen Fields go out and be terrible in these games, I think I would have just jammed Lance. Like, I don't think I would have.
I mean, do you think I'm hand-building lineups over here? Do you think I'm hand-building lineups over here like it's 2008? Like, the projections
clearly... I'm not hand-building lineups either. I'm running projections, but I'm looking at projected lineups. Like, I'm looking at, like, this is this projected lineup. This is this. Like, I'm looking at, like, top sets of optimals and thinking about how they interact.
Yeah, he's looking at the numbers, the science, and then he's adding some art to it. And here's
a little bit of art.
That's right. There's a little art.
Is the art scoring like three less than me every single week, Sammy? Is that?
I mean, look, your freaking Trey Lance play, like Dak Prescott threw for what 300 yards and what three or four touchdowns, and he outscored Lance by 10 points. Lance didn't get a single touchdown. He was stopped at like the 1-inch line.
And he didn't even throw for 200 yards.
Yeah, he was this close to a freaking to the 100-yard rushing bonus, and he only like lost out to Dak. Dak squeaked over the bonus by like 2 yards, and Lance still only had 10 fewer points. They missed CeeDee Lamb for like a 60-70-yard touchdown. Like, you ran so pure, and you can talk all this smack, but like at the end of the day, it's going to come down crashing on you, man. It's just like a poker player with huge holes in his games. Eventually you get exposed, and you will get exposed. I'm picking up some of them Nate in games.
No, I'll send you an info. I think you guys are missing out on the T. Higgins. Like, the $5,000 T. Higgins play was like at value such a good play.
No, he was a really good play. I'm not saying he's not, because what I wanted to do was T. Ricky Seals Jones over Chenault and Ingram.
And which that
I didn't end up doing, but that to me, that was a much better way to get Teagans in your lineup versus not playing Trey Lance.
Should I apologize?
I'm not gonna
for yes. not playing Ross Dwelly.
Yeah, how do you not play Ross Dwelly in this spot? Like I feel like you like wake up and you're like just like you see that Kittle's on the IR and everyone else in fantasy is like fuck, and you're like, oh shit, dude, it's Dwelly season.
This is my time. I did have 29% in GPP. Not a great GPP day.
Did he catch a pass?
He went 2 for 25 on 2 targets. Yeah,
tough. You love to see it.
Tough scene for Dwelly. And also,
Deontay, I mean, the Engram thing,
yard touchdown, and I didn't play him in cash. So the brand is hurting, but the bankroll is good.
The Evan Engram thing is tilting. I mean, literally every single player on the Giants went out, and Engram still didn't like get there. Like, I don't understand how someone of his talent level is just this bad all the time. Like, there is literally nobody on the Giants.
Well, it's like kind of a Giants thing.
3.2. I mean.
He did not have a second catch until the last drive.
Yeah. It was the last drive that he got the rest of the points. It was brutal.
I mean, the thing about the Giants is that they're terrible. And I am stunned that Kadarius Toney was able to have this game. Not because I don't think Kadarius Toney is good. I think pretty obviously he is good. But like I just am like ready for Jason Garrett to see a player doing that well and be like, dude, we got to establish Devonta Booker. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. But I think the big thing we got to talk about today is just what are people doing in cash games? I was shocked at ownership, especially in these lower dollar. I mean, in the $5 double up, Alexander Mattison was 42% owned. Jeez. Devontae Adams was 36.5% owned.
My God.
People are just like, what is the field doing when you hear that Dalvin Cook is not just questionable, doubtful. I mean, he was literally inactive. Like, we had an hour before lock. What were people doing to be 36.5% owned or 42% owned? I mean, you're just, if you're not playing these low dollar double ups, you're missing free money. I mean, Davis, when you were texting about swaps, I was like, are you an idiot? Have you looked at ownership? Like, people aren't playing optimal here at all.
Yeah. I mean, it would have mattered in some of my head to head games. I ended up not swapping because, I mean, our team also ran very good at like the end there. Like when I was first thinking about swaps, you know, like LaVisca literally had 0 points. Derrick Henry had 19. Like it ended up being a little bit different. Like literally, I mean, I don't think you could have had a better start other than not playing Chenault. Like Henry gets 34, Fournette gets 21, Devontae gets 40, Madison gets 30. And even our punt defense, the Eagles got 12.
It it wouldn't be a Sunday without Davis texting us something about swapping, but when you like texted us swap, I was like, what are you talking about, bro? Like we were talking about this. It was the ultimate prove it week. Like we all play. I don't know if you played extra volume, Nate. I did. Davis yeah, I did. Because I thought the team was really obvious on like Wednesday. Like this wasn't one of those weeks where like we're scrambling in the morning. Made some changes because of Madison, obviously. Like originally, my original team would have smashed because I had Najee and Kadarius Toney. Yeah, it would have been completely on. But I had that team on Wednesday, and it was just like so obvious. And I just knew that people in these low dollar things will screw this up somehow. They will make insane plays. And this was a week where I just thought the proper construction was just so obvious. And you know, when it's that, just pick up the extra volume because people will screw it up.
You know, what's funny is I bet that the games, I bet like, you know, like the $1,000 double ups and stuff. I bet this was like the worst week ever. I bet you could literally like win the $1,000 double up and not double up your money because so many people had the exact identical team.
Yeah. In the $100 double up, Devontae was up to 67% owned and Madison was 78% owned or 77% owned or something like that. So, I mean, that's where it's like the edges are super small.
It's insane that Madison was not 90% owned. I mean,
I know.
Even the box score bros who saw, you know, who would just see that Madison smashed the last time he filled in for Cook or just have to be like, oh yeah, that's so easy. And he was cheaper. I think he was 6K 2 weeks ago and he was only 5.5 this week.
He was like 6.2 last time, and there were much better running backs around him at the time. where like you could have made a spot for fading Madison last time out. This time out, I mean, it was just so clear. Running back position was weak all week outside of Henry. And then I thought the Fournette thing, I almost didn't play Fournette after the Geo news, but he came out still strong in projections and stuff where I even after giving Geo the workload, but when Geo wasn't in, like I had Geo inactive all week until, I don't know, what was it, Friday that Geo was kind of a surprise back on the, I thought Geo was going to be out, and Fournette was like the smash play of the week.
I mean, Geo did score a touchdown too, which was pretty tilting. He caught a 10-yard touchdown pretty early. But let's talk about Fournette, because I think Fournette was one of the ones that maybe wasn't that obvious. Like in the Giant double up, he was like 36%, 35%.
Yeah, massive. So these are the ownerships in the massive $25 double up. Trey Lance, 23%. Derrick Henry, 62%. Leonard Fournette, 35%. CD, 29%. Devontae, 51%. Visco was 23%. What was Waddle?
Waddle was 18. He was 18.3. Yeah.
Evan Ingram, 16%. Madison, 61%. Eagles, 81%. So clearly, that was 18%. It was a very popular team. Like I would imagine, I don't know. I bet it was probably pretty heavily duped. I don't know about the most duped team. I feel like how owned was Ricky Seals Jones? Yeah, 20%. So I bet. So there was a Ricky Seals Jones Kadarius Toney team that like
completely
you could have played Dak on that team too instead of Lance, and that team
we should have just done that, gone Dak, Toney, RSJ, or Dwelly perhaps.
Yeah. I mean, so actually that
is so good for the brand.
So this is, I did want to talk about this one decision point, and we can talk about ownerships here in a second, but Ricky Seals Jones, like why did we play Evan Ingram? Cause like, I just thought RSJ was straight up a better play. Like I guess in my mind, like RSJT was just better than Ingram, Visca or Waddle or whatever, but I didn't do it. I don't know why. Like, I guess it's just you don't want to leave the salary, but buddy, Evan Ingram can't do it. Just cannot do it.
Never again.
55. I know he only had 4.
Never, times. Never again. Sammy, literally every other skill position that the Giants started the season with was out, and 3 of their 5 offensive linemen were out.
Well, Daniel,
like, I don't think you realize how like destroyed, decimated this Giants team is, and he's still not getting target value. It's nuts.
It was a really prime game environment for him, right? We wanted pieces of this game, and you know, at the end of the day, I think that RSJ, clearly we talked about it last week after what's his face got hurt, Logan Thomas.
Yeah, we've been ready for this play for a week.
Yeah, I thought he was a very good play. He was my original cash game guy. So, but I thought Ingram was a slightly better play. I did. So, I'll just throw it out there. Because the game environment, Daniel Jones is like a decent quarterback, and you know, you expected Dallas to be up in this game, and I just thought that this could be a, you know, this could be something.
Yeah, but
it was the best game environment of the week. It was the best game environment of the week. You have a 3.2 tight end who's...
Yeah, but Ingram is like a part-time player, though. Ingram has not played over 55% of the snaps yet. Like, he runs routes when he's out there. Like, it's like the Mark Andrews thing, where, like, he runs a lot of routes. But, I mean, Ricky Seals-Jones played every single snap after Logan Thomas went out, and I don't have snap counts for today yet, but I'm going to guess that he got an insane amount. And I know...
Ricky Seals-Jones had 98% of the snaps today.
And I bet, by the way, I bet he literally led the tight end position at expected points, because he was targeted in the end zone twice, and he had a 40-yard play called back by, like, a very bogus penalty.
Damn.
I mean, Kyle Pitts, he was 4th.
Oh, I forgot. It's Kyle Pitts was 14 hours ago. Like,
Well, Darren Waller and Dalton Schultz also had 8 targets and had more. Yeah, so... Ricky Seals-Jones was 3rd of this slate in expected points with, I mean, yeah, that's, Yeah, he had great usage. And yeah, maybe we should have felt like fish because he's an every snap player where Engram's not. It was more of a bet on talent.
That was the move, RSJ and Tony. And not to be like, and Dak, not to be like super results oriented about it, but like, I really like Tony this week. And you know, I kept him in a lot.
Yeah, it hurts to have basically just played LaVisca and Waddle because of how salary worked out.
Yeah.
When we all, I mean, I really wanted to play Tony.
Yeah. You weren't worried about Diggs at all.
No, but he looks sick, dude. The Cowboys are good, bro.
I know.
The Cowboys are kind of messing up. The Cowboys are kind of messing up fantasy football for this year because, you know, CeeDee and Amari were supposed to be these amazing 14 target a game guys, and the defense is too good. The old Cowboys defense would have let Mike Glennon put 30, you know, to put a 30 ball up, and it's not happening now. It's kind of a bummer.
It's tough, but Elliott still got two touchdowns, and CeeDee got a touchdown, and Cooper got a touchdown, and Schultz got eight targets, and Tony Pollard rushed for 75 yards. I mean, there was a decent amount of fantasy goodness.
There's still plenty to go around.
Oh, and
yeah, I mean, that's why it was the best
touchdown to Cooper right at the end. They tried to stick the dagger in on third down, and he was open too. Like, this could have been a huge, huge smash.
Yeah.
The more I look at this, the more I think you guys almost got smashed by Dak. Dak could have outscored
you. No, this is not real, dude. Nate,
did you see Trey Lance go down at the 1-inch line? Like, come on, bro.
Dude, Trey Lance clearly has like no idea what's going on when he's out there. But he, like, I tweeted this, like, dude, he looks like a guy you would create in Madden. Like, he's like 6'5", 250 pounds. He's like extremely, like, he's so fast. It's like, you never know what's going to happen next. It's like, dude, he could throw a 60-yard frozen rope. He could throw an interception directly to, like, he could pull a Roethlisberger and just, like, pitch it to an opposing linebacker. Like, anything could happen.
He's a creative player, but you run out of, like, slider bar points, so you can only move his speed and his arm power. So his arm accuracy is left at, like,
50. Yeah, awareness, zero. And
gotta coach him up, bro. You gotta coach him up.
Even the fourth and short, like the touchdown, he went low. If he would have went high, he's in.
Oh, he soars in. Yeah.
But I mean, I guess, I don't know, you probably don't want to take a helmet to the ribs or whatever, but going low,
he got stoned. Like,
he got smoked.
He was in and they just put him right down. That was wild, man. That was so wild. Like, but Lance was this close to like smashing. Everything went wrong for Lance. Everything went right for Dak. Dak only outscored him by 10 points. Like, you gotta let this one go.
Yeah, Nate. Like, I feel like also maybe you're still thinking in your head that Dak is like rushing, and he literally is not. I think he's got like 12 rushing yards on the year.
Yeah, bro, his leg turned 180 degrees last.
Tom Brady, more rushing yards than Dak on the season.
Jesus.
Tom Brady had like
How much was Brady, by the way? We should have just
played. Oh, yeah, seriously. Why are Brady, we just playing Brady every week?
Brady was in our optimal at Daily Roto, and I was like, no, come on. I can't play Brady, bro. But Brady was our top optimal, and I don't know.
He was a bit much. He was on a GPP
that I played.
It's like, why didn't we have more Tom Brady? Like, of course this was a smash.
Yeah, dude. I mean, he really is gonna break records.
Yeah, they just continue to throw no matter what the score is. It's great. I love it.
Yeah, it's clear that there's like been an organizational decision. Like, okay, we won the Super Bowl. Like, Brady, what do you want to do? Brady's like, I don't know. Brady is 44 years old. So he's like, I've got my Super Bowls. I want it. I want to break, you know, more passing yards than Peyton Manning, more touchdowns than Peyton Manning. Like, that's what he wants.
My God, why doesn't Roethlisberger like look at Tom Brady and try to do what he does instead of just being a fat lop, like just dustless burger? It's like, dude, Roethlisberger plays like he's 108 years old. It's insane.
Yeah, the Roethlisberger thing is bad. It's real sad.
Juju's hurt, dude. I mean, tough scene, Sammy.
It doesn't matter. They have an alpha receiver on that team.
Claypool?
I mean, Claypool is a pretty big alpha too, honestly.
Yeah. I don't know. It just feels like it would be a bummer to be a Steelers fan because they've been so good your whole life. And now you just have to watch this guy who won so many games, who just is just a big pile of shit now.
I really want it to, like, but it's tilting because the Steelers are never so bad that we get a good pick, you know? And so we just like take like,
oh yeah, they're not going to be there. Like, you're going to pick like 13th. And miss the playoffs. Yeah, so we pick
idiots like Dobbs and Mason Rudolph and shit like that. And in the third round, it's just like, dude, you got to tear it down. It's not happening.
Yeah.
Got to let it go.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, there just is not really anything that interesting to say about our teams at this point, because it was just like, if you did not play this team or like some iteration of this team, you just were not even close.
On each other. Like it's tough. It's bad for the people. Really good for our bankrolls. I mean, Bitcoin's up. We're making a bunch of money at DFS. Dude, like
these are ripping. JPEGs are good. Yeah, it's all good.
But these are bad shows.
Yeah, these are bad shows.
I guess though, we could dunk on ourselves from a GPP standpoint because I got.
Oh yeah, we got to do this.
Dusted.
Yeah,
I got dusted this week.
I did too.
Same. Well, it's
not
like
even smelling in any minutes.
You basically just like don't play Adams and you don't play freaking Henry and then you're dust. It's over.
You're dust. Yeah. I mean, you could get away with not playing Henry because there were enough other cheaper running backs who got there. But if you didn't have Adams, I mean, he was the highest scoring player of the slate by like 6 points, I think. So
yeah, it's very tough.
All right, I'll do here. Let me get rid of my showdown filter here real quick. Okay, so my team that I played in the red zone, 100K or 50K to first or whatever, I did a Jalen Hurts single stack with a bring back for Carolina Panthers. So Jalen Hurts and Devonta Smith with the DJ Moore bring back. I did play Derrick Henry. I did play Alexander Mattison, but I used DJ Moore is my high price wide receiver instead of Devontae Adams. He got 8. Josh Reynolds got 1.8. You love to see the cheap wide receiver there. Zach Ertz got 1.7. Amari got 15. And the Texans defense got 5.
The Hurts to Ertz stack. That's brutal.
Dude, Ertz is running a bunch of routes. Ertz is like,
yeah,
I mean,
I know, but he's like the tight end Ben Roethlisberger. What are we?
Yeah,
know?
He is. What he is. So I liked the I liked the angle, and I think that Hurts is Jalen Hurts at 3.5%, like I will probably take that, but when a game combines for 95 points and Devontae Adams has 40 points, I'm just not going to get there. Like I would much rather in general I would much rather this result of having a shitty team that doesn't even come close to cashing than having, a bunch of 27% owned players and then cashing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then I'll just jump right on because I'm in the same boat of nowhere near close. But I think for me, the biggest thing in tournaments this morning was like deciding what to do with Mattison.
I felt like you had to go 100%.
Yeah,
in my
100%
opinion.
Or zero. 100% or zero. I don't think there was another option. I went 100% Madison, played him and everything. And he just, because of his price point, even at the projected ownership, I still thought like I was still getting like leverage on the field at the thing I wanted. So I went 100% Madison, 0% Devontae, 0% Big Dog, and went with a my two like favorite leverage plays on the week were Darren Waller and then just overall the Raiders offense. So I had a lot of Carr, Jacobs, Waller. This one was a Carr, Jacobs, Waller stack, bringing it back with Damian Williams. Really? I thought after the
dude, there's no way that Josh Jacobs and Damian Williams can be positive correlation.
In this type of game environment, they can, because if Chicago's going to at all keep Vegas, like push him at all, it's going to be through Damian. It's not going to be Justin Fields throwing for 350 yards. Like Damian was the David Montgomery type play, except he catches passes. And Damien.
No, I mean, I'm not critiquing the plays individually, but I just, in my mind, Damien and the opposing running back would be negatively correlated. But I thought Jacobs was actually a good play.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I had a bunch of kind of one-offs that I felt good about, and Godwin, Jacoby Myers, Robbie Anderson, Chargers.
Godwin's such a fucking good one-off this year, just every week.
Dude. Man, it was tilting though, because Evans and Brown were the ones who went for 40.
Yeah, like, but you know. I mean, you just live with that though.
Yeah. And then Robbie Anderson, I don't know.
Obviously.
Obviously. I mean, Waller and Robbie Anderson.
Dude, okay, I'm getting Robbie Anderson at 3.8% owned. Like, I'm done.
You know,
I'm done with Robbie.
I just am looking at my lineup, and I do kind of want to make this point, which is that like having a bunch of like 1% and 2% owned plays is probably not that good, because ownership is going to correlate with points. Like, you want your cumulative ownership to be low, and you don't want your lineup to be full of 20. You know, you don't want your lineup to be a cash game team. You know, you probably don't want to play like Henry and Adams together. But like, I'm looking at my team and I have like literally six dudes in here under 5%. And like, that's, I don't know, that's probably not great.
Well, it depends on if you play Madison, if you play like someone like a Damien. I also thought Jacoby Myers was going to be like a pretty steamed wide receiver. I thought he was going to be double digit easily. So I thought I was going to have three or four double digit guys in my lineup. So I was okay with a, you know, more contrarian leverage stack with, cause I thought the Raiders, like, their ceiling compared to their ownership, I thought they were like the spot I wanted leverage on this week, and it just didn't work out.
She's got to go in on the Raiders sometimes.
That's right. Yeah. You just got to smash them. What did I do?
Well, to be fair to Nate, very weird week for tournaments with like five of the best offenses all in prime time. Like, I found myself struggling this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I use Madison in all my GPP lineups, except for my Minnesota stacks. And this one was a Minnesota stack. So I just decided to take full leverage off of Madison. And so like in this lineup, I went Cousins, Jefferson, Conklin, and then brought it back with DeAndre Swift.
I like that, but I did a Minnesota stack too, but I just threw Madison in with it, cause I was like, I just want to play 100%.
Yeah. Which I think is okay. And like Madison, obviously they've shown that they'll use him in the passing game. They did it last week. They did it this week. He caught a touchdown. I mean, it was all good. I just kind of wanted to use a ton of Madison, but just like have my Minnesota stacks be leveraged off of him. It's just the way I decided to approach it. I had a couple teams like that. And then I used Aaron Jones at my running back spot. He was like my favorite running back tournament play. You know, I just thought Green Bay had the potential to really smash Cincy. Nobody was really going to own Aaron Jones. He ended up being 10%, which was a lot more than I thought. Swift was only 8.1%, but Jones got the bonus. He caught four passes. He didn't get a touchdown, but he had a pretty good game. I did use Kadarius Toney in this lineup.
You love to see it.
Yep. I used Jamar Chase in this lineup. I used CeeDee Lamb in this lineup. So I think it ended up scoring. I don't even think it cashed. It didn't, but it scored like 169 points.
Yeah. Jones ended up being that, like, the sneaky play that got steamed like Odell last week, where it was like all of a sudden Jones wasn't like at the ownership everybody wanted him to be.
Yeah.
And then Swift ended up.
I listened to nothing about stuff. Like I was, you know, traveling all day yesterday. Like today I'm in freaking Hawaii. Like I didn't know anything about what was being said about players. So I thought Aaron Jones was a sneaky play. And like, as he snuck up and got popular, I had no idea that was happening.
It's just hard because overall, I feel like this year, maybe last year too, I didn't really play GPPs much last year, but at least this year, I feel like there's so much content these days geared toward GPPs, and so many people are putting out ownership projections and then basing their GPP plays on the ownership projections, that everybody is coming out there with these like, oh, Aaron Jones is going to be 5%. He's going to be a great GPP play. And then next thing you know, we come to lock and it's like, oh wait, he's double digit because everybody thought he was a good GPP play. And the one guy like Swift, who everybody thought was going to be like, ends up being the play. And so I almost wonder like what the future of ownership projections for tournaments and just kind of GPP content
is. It's just playing the chalk, man.
Solver versus solver, bro. That's what it comes to. No,
but how do you have efficient ownership projections when every single tout site is looking at ownership projections versus ceiling and telling you who the, like,
well, I mean, the way,
and they're all using similar ownership projections.
The way we do it is we algorithmically weight player name mentions in tout stuff. We use other sites' rankings and content, and like we generate tags for players. So like when a player gets mentioned on Mayo's show, he gets a tag. When a player gets mentioned on the Swolecast, he gets a tag.
You got to get some Discord. You got to get some Discord bots. That'll show you.
Yeah. So it's like a, like that's definitely one way is you got to measure how much guys are being mentioned in content, but also like it sounds so weird for something that's so scientific, but you just got to have a little bit of feel. Like you got to have the feel of like that guy's going to like dude sitting on his shitter, 10 minutes before lock throwing a team into the red zone, guy is going to play this guy, and you got to know what guys are not that.
It's a little bit of an art, you know.
It's a little bit of an art. Yeah.
So I don't know where we go.
If you want a more serious answer, your more serious answer is you need to play everything off of Sims, and you need to have optimal roster percentages for players, and you just need to not care what their ownership is and just play every player at what their optimal chances of, or what their chances of being in an optimal lineup are.
So just pure GTO. Yeah. Just pure GTO. No.
So like completely ignore playing the field.
Like you would weight ownership percentages, but you would be like, so for like Madison, you'd be like, you know, my stuff has him being in the best DraftKings lineup 65% of the time. So I'm going to play him 65% of the time.
Did you talk about this on the Take Cast with somebody?
Yeah.
Davis?
Yeah. With Blender the other day. Yeah. Like 2 weeks ago.
Just straight exploitative versus GTO. And Blender was talking about how he's definitely exploitative. And that's like where the art.
Yeah, like he was saying that like people actually don't play guys like Madison enough. That actually people tend to get kind of fancy, and guys like that get underowned.
Yep.
I mean, it is the same thing is true that has always been true. People kind of underplay running back chalk and they overplay wide receiver chalk. Like
when it should be the other way around.
What was Waddle owned in, you know, the Millie Maker or whatever today? Like, I guarantee it was over whatever his chances of being in an optimal lineup were, or even someone, or defenses too. The Washington football team, 20% owned in the red zone, right?
There's just no excuse to doing that.
Yeah. Every week I've played basically terrible defense in this contest because I just am like, I played the Texans today, right? They got 5 points, which was the same amount as the Washington football team. And what were,
yeah, there was a 0% chance I'd play like the Eagles or the Washington.
Yeah, they were 4% owned. So it's like, those are, and it's not fun to be like, oh, well, I got to just play this shitty defense for no reason other than ownership, or I got to play Josh Reynolds at 1% or whatever. But I think those kind of decisions are like a little bit easier to think that way than like, oh, I can't play Madison, he's too chalky.
Yeah, generally the running back chalk is like what you should be eating more so than the wide receiver chalk, because wide receivers are just so variant, so much more variant by nature. And it's the same thing with like DST, to your point. Like DST is so variant that like, just game theory wise, you should just never be playing a high owned defense in tournaments kind of ever, I think. Or like the optimal percentage would be X, but like you can just play zero if you want.
It's also important to be dynamic. This is, I was listening to Peter's show with Brick the other day, Brian Hooper, Lowell's, And Brick was saying, you know, you see these game theory DFS bros talk about like, you can't play this cheap chalk hitter in baseball. You can't play. I think their example was some Rockies guy who was like batting second. It was Connor Joe.
Connor Joe.
They were like, bro, of course I'm getting punished by the 28% chalk. And Brick's point was like, I don't know. Sometimes like in my Sims, those guys are actually jams that like the 28% hitter is actually, I should play him like 55%. So I think that is important too. Just like, and that again is, well, this would be more of a science if you were good at it, but I'm not good at modeling those things out. So that's more of like an art where I'm like, okay, this is actually a slate where you can get away with that, or this is a slate where you can't.
Yeah. And I don't model that stuff at all. I get my ownership projections from site X, who's really good at it. But you know, I do think to your point, so many people are looking at these sites and seeing the ownership projections that when they see a giant ceiling score and a really low projected ownership score, they're flooding onto that and doubling the ownership, right? I think Aaron Jones was a great example of that. Aaron Jones, from what I was looking at, was projected for like 4% and change, and he ended up being...
He was double digit pretty much everywhere. So that's kind of what I'm saying. If you change that, like those models of why Aaron Jones was a good play and you put his ownership at 10%, now he's a bad play. And so almost because sites are writing about it, the plays that they're writing about as good plays inherently become bad plays because they wrote about them. Like where 3 years ago, that was not a thing. And like, there was just not that much GPP content, where now it's almost like, I think cash games used to be that 3 years ago, where it was like, we started seeing so much cash game discussion that like, you know, we started to see ownerships just go to a rate that we hadn't seen.
It's still like that with cash games. Like my team was duped like 40 times in these.
I know, dude. This was the softest ownership I've seen in for a week five of NFL. This is insanely soft ownership this week on DraftKings.
No, I know they should have been. I know they should have been more owned, but our teams being that heavily duped is like evidence of that.
Yeah, I'm just saying GPP content seems to be making the field a lot more sharp than maybe 3 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, literally Davis is texting us this morning about maybe I should swap. And I'm like, dude, 40% of people did not play Henry. 60% did not play Devontae Adams. Like, you have to understand, like, yes, they have high ownerships, but that means that like a significant chunk of people aren't playing these plays and they're completely smashing. Like, you just roll with what you have. Easy game. Like, and then the people like who didn't play both of them, right? A lot of people maybe played one or the other, but a lot of people didn't play both of them. And it's like, dude, you're tripping. Like, there's so many
Davis, people out cash. Davis, you fall into the trap of during Sunday afternoon slates, you're like comparing your lineup versus the nuts every time in cash of like, oh, if I would have built this cash lineup optimally, I'm like 10 points down. But you're not looking at the field as like 60% of the field didn't play Devontae Adams. Like, you're not playing against the nuts. It's okay.
Well, I mean, and sometimes you are, though. Sometimes you are playing.
Davis, I wish you would have swapped then and would have lost. Like,
I don't think it would have mattered.
Today, it just would have been such a good show, Davis.
CD scored what? Two more points, three more points than Amari?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
But if you would have swapped, like gotten off of Amari to somebody like, I don't know, not owned.
Yeah, if I would have like swapped, like if I would be like, I gotta get to Kyler, dude. Well, I probably would have played Kadarius Toney though, because I would have needed a cheap wide receiver.
Yeah, and you would have gone to like DeAndre Hopkins, who had kind of a similar game.
This is a bad show, guys. Sammy, I hope you do something fishy next week or something. So we
I'm sorry.
Right. I feel like literally, I feel like Sammy actually does better when he has like less information, like when he's just like
traveling.
Well, he's like traveling, so he doesn't have time to like look at the slate and get his like dumbass ideas. Like, I'm gonna play Deontay Johnson against the Ravens. Like, he doesn't have time to like think through it like that. So he doesn't have time to
analyze the matchups. Like, and dude, they play cover two. Deontay Johnson.
Like, he just looks at the projections and plays the team.
Ben historically crushes against cover two at home. Like, this is the spot.
I hate you guys so much.
I never realized that until right now. Like, I never put that combination together of like why Sammy just like rolls in with like the same team as me on a week where he's been busy. But like next week, guy's going to be at home and he's going to show up with like some 3% owned wide receiver. And we're just going to be like, well,
I'm in Hawaii till next Saturday. So I'm traveling set. So I'm going to have my team on. Yeah. It's We're going to have to wait 2 weeks for the Deontay Johnson team, I think.
Sorry. So you and I are just going to show up with the same team next week too.
I'm sorry, you guys.
Bad show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The listeners lost.
Yeah. Well, I mean, do we have any other, revelations or whatever from the slate?
I mean, Mike Williams is officially like the guy.
He's the dude.
I'm sure you were going to say Mike Davis. So
How about Odell Beckham 2 for 20 in a game that scored 90 points?
Is he dust?
I mean, what was his usage? I didn't even.
He had 2 targets.
Holy cow. No, he had 3 targets. Oh my goodness. Yeah, that's bad.
Odust Beckham.
Yeah.
Odell.
I mean, his Donald target share was literally under 10%.
Mike Williams had 16 targets, dude. Thank God I never Mike have Williams to play led Keenan the Allen league. In DFS again.
Mike Williams led the league in expected points again for wide receiver. I mean, like 16 targets, and Herbert's just a massive ceiling every week. My goodness.
Yeah, I think we're a couple of Herbert on Herbert to Mike Williams. Like, people are going to be on this now.
Well, yeah, everybody got off of it this week because last week Williams didn't get the workload.
Actually, but, I mean, Nate might end up rich because Nate's definitely going to start playing Keenan Allen again. And,
yep.
It may make you rich.
Nate's going to show up for $4,800 Keenan Allen playing 3 weeks in a row when he gets 4 for 40. But that fourth week when he goes 4 for 40 and a touchdown, it's going to be super
Boom.
Lit.
Boom.
All right.
I don't know who my bad play next week will be.
Who do the Falcons play?
Yeah, let's see. Is Mike Davis back on the main slate or not?
Nate, buddy. They play the Dolphins at the Dolphins. And I bet after that game, I bet he's literally like 4,700.
I mean, if he is, I'll definitely have to consider it. I mean, he did get 13 rushing attempts with like, what, 5 targets today?
Yep. He crushed it, dude. Crushed it. This is actually, I noticed this morning and I thought it was so funny. He was dead last on the team in receiving. They had 9 players with a reception and he was last in receiving. Mike Davis, baby. You got to do it. All right. Let's wrap it up. Everyone, thank you for listening. We'll be back next week.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.